Philly fans, welcome back to another episode of Phillies Today. This baseball team has, if you're worried about this team making the playoffs or you're worried about this team winning the division, all of those feelings are justified right now with what the Phillies have put on the table for us for the last 2 months, really, month and a half, whatever it's been. Like, everything that we've had to sit and watch since the All-Star break was over has just been abysmal, has just been awful, awful baseball. They win one game in the end of that Seattle series, and we all think maybe they're back. I mean, the offense kind of clicked. Bryson Stott hit a home run. Harper hit a home run. Boehm hit a home run. It was like maybe they figured something out, and then they just instantly fall flat on their face against the Dodgers in game one of this series last night, and you know, jump out to a 2-0 lead. Aaron Nola proceeds to give up 5 hits in 1 inning, 4 runs. And, you know, balls were, I think 4 balls in that inning were hit over 100 miles per hour off the bat. Just awful, awful baseball. And you know, once they go down 4-2, that lead then feels like it's become insurmountable. You know, it feels like the Phillies have absolutely no chance once they go down more than one run in a ball. Once they go down in a ball game, period. I mean, it just feels like they've got no shot whatsoever. I mean, in the 7th or 8th inning, they get 2nd and 3rd with 1 out, and you think, okay, you know, maybe they can figure something out, get home those 2 runs, you know, a base hit will score 2, and all they get is an Alec Boehm ground out and then a Brandon Marsh strikeout. I mean, guys in scoring position, this team just can never get the job done. It is maddening. It is beyond frustrating that literally every single person on this team that could go wrong has gone wrong. Matt Strom has not been the same pitcher that he was pre-All-Star break. Jeff Hoffman implodes in the 6th inning the other night against Seattle. Alvarado still, you never feel comfortable with him in there, even though he sort of started to figure it out. Bryce Harper, before he got 3 hits the other day in Seattle, was 1 for his last 40. Trey Turner at 2 hits. Trey Turner, pre-All-Star break, was hitting .349. Trey Turner now is hitting .308. I mean, the 2 best guys in your order have just completely fallen flat on their face at the exact same time. And it is so incredibly frustrating that we're seeing this for now going on a month. I mean, it's been a month since this baseball team has won a series. They haven't won a series since the beginning of July when they swept the Dodgers at home. Take that for an example. I mean, we're going on 7 consecutive series now with a series loss. And I know that you probably have heard all the stats and you understand, but I just want to give you context that it's okay to feel the way you're feeling if you're feeling like this team might not make the playoffs. Because while that might sound crazy if you haven't really looked at the standings, there's 7.5 games up on a playoff spot right now. And 7.5 is obviously a lot, but 7.5, the way this baseball team is playing and the way that there feels like there is absolutely no end in sight for this team, they've still got 6 more on this road trip, 4 against Arizona, who's playing the best baseball they've played all season. Arizona, who was under .500 just not that long ago, has now found their way into the top wild card spot and are cementing themselves as the playoff team we all assumed they would be. They're getting healthier because for the majority of the season, they were missing Merrill Kelly. They didn't have Zach Gallen for extended periods of time. Eduardo Rodriguez, who was a big free agent signing for them, hasn't pitched for them all season long. Corbin Carroll was abysmal for a large part of the season. He started to play a little bit better. Like, the Diamondbacks have come around and have been a better baseball team than they were for the first 3 months of the year. And that's the team that you're now going in to face 4 times in Arizona, where you played horrible. You historically have not played well. And obviously in the playoffs last year, that's the number one thing we think about in recent memory. You fell apart. Do we have any faith that they're going to right the ship in Arizona? I certainly don't have any faith that the Phillies are going to figure it out the next 2 games against the Dodgers. I mean, tonight's pitching matchup for the Phillies is Christopher Sanchez versus Clayton Kershaw. And Clayton Kershaw, in his, you know, 2 starts that he's had so far this year, has been terrible. He went 4 innings on July 25th, gave up 6 hits and 2 runs. And then on July 31st, went 3 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 7 runs. Now, 3 of those runs were earned. But still, I mean, he has not been good at all. And the Phillies juxtapose that with Christopher Sanchez on the hill, who has not been good recently. I mean, if you hear defeat in my voice, it that's just what the Phillies have seemingly done to me, is just make me feel completely defeated, where I just don't know where the light at the end of the tunnel is. You know, I really don't. I don't know if this team is going to figure it out when they come home, because after this long road trip, you know, like I said, they still got two against the Dodgers, and then they go for four against Arizona. Then you finally come home and you've got six home games against bad teams. You've got two against Miami and four against the Nationals. You need to go 6-0 there. You know, if you want to figure out something to get the fan base back believing, something to figure out what is going on with this lull in your season, because the last seven series, you have lost the series opening game. That is just, that's terrible. I mean, flat out, that is embarrassing. They're on their way to losing seven consecutive series if they lose this series to the Dodgers, and losing game one doesn't give you any hope whatsoever that this team is going to figure it out and find a way to win a series. You know, for crying out loud, we were all feeling like the team might have been back just because they won a game against Seattle. Just because they won a game in a series, it was like, maybe this team's figuring something out. And then they just go and completely throw all that away against the Dodgers, and I get it. The Dodgers are a great baseball team. I'm not saying that I expect the Phillies to go into LA and sweep. I really wasn't even expecting them to go into LA and win the series. Like, to be honest, when they saw that they were going on this 10-game road trip, I thought at best 4-6, likely 3-7. You know, you probably take one game in all three series, but I don't think anybody should have any faith that this team is going to win a series right now. And look, I mean, if you're concerned, if you're worried, the road trip does end this Sunday, and you come home for the Marlins and the Nationals, and like, that should be an area where you're able to kind of figure it out and you're able to win some games. But take into context that for the remainder of the season, now through the end of September, the Phillies play five series against losing teams. Only five, and two of them are coming up August 13th through August 18th, when they face Miami on a two-game series, and then the Nationals for four after that. Those are the only teams in the month of August that they face with a record below 500. And if you remember last year, when August rolled around and, you know, Trey Turner got that great standing ovation and tried to figure out his season, the Phillies had like the easiest month of August schedule they've ever had. I don't think they faced a single team that was above 500 in the month of August. Well, the script is flipped in this year. The script is 100% different. You're going to have to find a way to beat good baseball teams, which they have struggled with mightily. They are now 2-9 in their last 11 road series. They are 2-8 so far in their last road series. Going to be 2-9 if they lose this one to the Dodgers, and then could be 2-11 with what happens in Arizona. I mean, they don't even play well at Citizens Bank Park anymore, but once they are away from Citizens Bank Park, my goodness, it is bad baseball. It is bad baseball. It is tough baseball to watch. And like I mentioned, just a feeling of defeat this morning. You know, I always look forward to coming in to record these and to give my take on what I think the Phillies can do or should do. And I hate being such a pessimist and somebody who just does not have any belief in the team right now. And I know that for a lot of people out there, that might not be what you want to hear, but I also think that a lot of people are feeling the same way and want to feel like they're justified. And I'll tell you right now that you are, that it's okay to feel like that. You know, it's part of being a fan that you want to ride the highs and the lows. It's understandable. I get it. But they are in one of the biggest lows that this Phillies franchise has dealt with in a number of years. I mean, the last time the Phillies lost this many series in a row, now they've lost six in a row currently. They're on the verge of losing seven in a row. The last time they've lost six series in a row was 2018. I mean, that's a completely different iteration of the Phillies entirely. There was no Bryce Harper. There was no JT. There was no Kyle Schwarber. There was no Trey Turner. Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott hadn't even been in the majors yet. Stott wasn't even drafted yet. And Bohm was drafted in 2018. I mean, just, you know, a 100% different Phillies team than anything that we are seeing right now. Right? Like, the only two players on the Phillies in 2018 that are on the roster then and are on the roster now are Aaron Nola and Ranger Suarez. That's the last time. I mean, literally nobody else on the Phillies team was there for that losing stretch when the Phillies lost 8 consecutive series from mid-August to mid-September. And it feels like we are headed towards that direction right now, and it's just it's impossible to know what to make of it because we've just never seen it with this team. And I know that they are supposed to have good leadership with guys like Schwarber, guys like Harper, JT, and they keep saying the correct things of we're going to figure this out and we're too good to continue losing this many games. But until they can prove it to us, you know, until we can see them do that, there isn't much of a reason to have belief in this Phillies team. And by the way, the manager is not giving you any reason to have hope, to, you know, inspire confidence that they are going to figure this out. When in the ninth inning of last night's game, after Nick Castellanos works an 8-pitch at bat and gets on base, the next 3 hitters swing at the first pitch and all get out. And oh, by the way, the last hitter in that ballgame was Garrett Stubbs. Garrett Stubbs was in that game in the ninth inning with an important at-bat. And I know JT Realmuto is not a good pinch hitter. And I know that JT Realmuto has not been great. Plain and simple, JT has not been very good since he's come off the IL. But you know what he is? He's a lot better than Garrett Stubbs. And you know who's also a hell of a lot better than Garrett Stubbs? Rafael Marchand, who got sent down to the minor leagues because they wanted to keep the vibes guy, Garrett Stubbs, on the roster. And I know that the backup catcher position is such a minute detail on this team and not something that is really going to affect most games when JT plays every day. I 100% get that. But if that's the way that you want the manager to look at it, if that's the way that Rob Thompson thinks about it, that with JT playing so many days, we don't really need to worry about the production from Garrett Stubbs because he might only be in there once or twice a week, then you better figure out a way to not have him bat in the ninth inning and make him count in a game. Because he's got no business being on the roster, if we're being honest. If you want Garrett Stubbs to be some sort of vibes person that you want to keep on your team, then hire him in a coaching capacity. Don't have him ever taking at bats for this baseball team. Plain and simple. I cannot stand that one. He should never be in a game in an important situation in the ninth inning unless there's some sort of injury where he has to play. I mean, Garrett Stubbs is hitting .188 with a .283 on base percentage. His slugging percentage is .227. .227. His slugging percentage last year was .283, and they decided they were going to bring him back. At some point, we got to hold this Phillies team accountable for this vibes crap that they've thrown at us for now 2 years, because the vibes that we've so loved and been so fooled by and thought mattered so much haven't mattered at the end of the postseason, haven't mattered when it truly mattered most. Those vibes disappeared and the team slinked back into a hole. That's what the vibes have gotten you for the last 2 years. So I'm out on the whole vibes guy crap that they throw at us. It was just infuriating to see Garrett Stubbs in the ninth inning yesterday with Rob Thompson essentially. And Thompson's main thing is like he doesn't like having JT Realmuto pinch hit in the game. Like when JT is off, JT is off. Which could be a flawed way of looking at it in general, because quite frankly, it is. If JT can't pinch hit, right? Not gonna happen. JT's off, JT is off. Pinch hit somebody else for Stubbs. Pinch hit Edmundo Sosa. And then bring JT in the game as a defensive replacement if the game's still going on at that point. But you can't have Garrett Stubbs having the last at-bat in your baseball game. It just can't happen. I'm sorry. In no world should he ever be getting the last at-bat in a game for the Phillies. It's like Jake Cave, you know, ending the season last year for the Phillies. And, of course, that was special circumstances because of the amount of people that were pinch hit for and... I get it. That's a little bit different than this scenario right now, but Rob Thompson has failed a lot recently with just not knowing who should be able to be, who should be pitching when, with not, you know, pinch hitting Garrett Stubbs. I mean, Garrett Stubbs has been in more games as a pitcher in the last 15 days than he does have hits. He's come in and he's pitched in three games after the All-Star break. He's got three hits since the All-Star break. Just terrible, terrible baseball. And if you want to look ahead to the schedule of the Phillies, you know, I mentioned the fact that they play five teams for the remainder of the year with a losing record. Well, let's go over those because they face the Marlins and they face the Nationals. That's coming up this month. And then in September, six on the road, but they're against losing teams. You go to Toronto, where they have not played well. And then you go four against the Marlins after that, all on the road. And then the only remaining series after that that you have against losing teams are the Cubs and Nationals to wind down the season. So sorry, six series against losing teams coming up. Still not enough. Still not enough to make anybody feel confident about the Phillies going forward and finding out how this baseball team is going to piece it together and try and scrap and claw their way to a division title. That seemed like it was, you know, for sure, for certain, going to be theirs moving forward when it was pre-All-Star break. And ever since then, it has just been downhill. It has been bad baseball. For the rest of the month of August, after they play the Marlins and the Nationals, they go to Atlanta for three, they go to Kansas City for three, and then they come home for Houston for three and home for the Braves for four. That is going to be a tough stretch. That is not going to be fun to watch, I'll tell you right now. And the Braves are 5.5 games back of the Phillies. There are, I think, 10 games until the Phillies and Braves play each other. Sorry, 12 games until the Phillies and Braves meet on August 20th in Atlanta. Would anybody be surprised if the Braves could overtake them in that series? Or maybe they even go into that series tied? Would that shock anybody? Wouldn't shock me. You know, I would not be surprised if the Phillies are clinging for dear life in that series with a division lead, or they have already lost it. But look, we're winding down here, and I know I spoke last week about how I wanted to mention stuff that's gone on around Major League Baseball, and I didn't have time to do it last week because of how frustrated I was with the Phillies, and I wanted to do a majority of the show on the Phillies, and I would like to, in large part, do that again today just because of how bad they've been and how much they really need to be talked about. But I'm going to take a little bit of a break from the Phillies. We'll talk about Major League Baseball as a whole and maybe related a little bit to the Phillies, because the Phillies are currently only a half game ahead of the Dodgers right now for the best record in the National League. They no longer have the best record in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's completely gone out the window. And teams like the Yankees, who aren't even in first place in their division, now have a better record than the Phillies. I mean, that's where we're at right now. Is the, you know, they no longer have the better record of other teams that are in second place in their division. They are 3.5 games ahead of Milwaukee for the best record in the National League. So, I mean, there are chances, there is a possibility that the Phillies do not get the one seed, even if they win the division, just because of how poor this stretch has been for them in the last calendar month and then some. But let's look at the National League, because I mentioned the Diamondbacks have figured it out. They are 61-52, as are the Padres. They are also 61-52. They are teams that the last time we talked were not a team that you really had to worry about. Were not teams that you had to think about and be concerned with. Well, now you have to be. And maybe not even necessarily because they're going to catch the Phillies, but teams that are hot going towards the playoffs. You know, one team already knocked you out of the playoffs last year, and there's a good chance you might play them come playoff time. And oh, by the way, they added Josh Bell, the Philly killer, at the trade deadline. You just know he's going to have something to say to the Phillies come October, no? You know, if these two teams end up playing each other, it's just a decision that just feels like it's a nightmare for the Phillies going forward. They are the top wild card spot. Them, Atlanta, and San Diego are all tied for the wild card spot right now. There is, you know, they all have Arizona and San Diego have the same record. Atlanta has played less games, but same winning percentage at 60-51. Those are the three wild card teams. And, you know, the Diamondbacks and San Diego are 8-2 in their last 10. Atlanta 6-4 in their last 10. Here are the Phillies, 2-8 in their last 10. That just can't seemingly figure out how to get out of their own way and make this
a better baseball team. I guess if there's anything to look forward to, we're not the White Sox. The White Sox have lost 21 consecutive games. Of course, the Phillies hold the record all time with 23 consecutive losses back in 1961, but there's a legitimate chance that the White Sox take over that record because they have just been that bad. Just embarrassing how bad the White Sox have been. If you haven't watched any White Sox games, there's people with signs in the stands, bags over their heads. I mean, it feels like you're watching the Cleveland Browns of years ago or the Saints, you know, when you watch the White Sox. It's just, it's that bad, you know, with what's gone on there. Baltimore leads the AL East. They're 67 and 46. They had the new additions, of course, of Sir Anthony Dominguez, of Gregory Soto, from the Phillies, of course. And by the way, you know, Gregory Soto, in his first outing with the Orioles, which is hilarious because he was so bad for the Phillies. Well, his first outing against the Orioles, or for the Orioles, he went a third of an inning and gave up four runs. So Gregory Soto has not figured it out, so to speak, on the Orioles. Sir Anthony Dominguez has a little bit. Sir Anthony Dominguez has been pretty good for them since he's gone there. He said a scoreless outing in four of his five outings that he's had with the Orioles. He's got a 180 ERA for them. So some of their deadline acquisitions as well. They got Zach Eflin, who is kind of just bounced around since he's left the Phillies. I mean, he signs one of the biggest deals in the Rays history, and the next year he's traded, which is kind of crazy. He's gone six innings in both of his starts with the Orioles. He did give up 10 hits in his first one, but only three runs, and he went six and a third on Saturday and gave up two runs for the Orioles in that start. So Eflin's been solid. Eflin's been a solid pickup for them, and I thought it was a good move when they made it for them to go and bring him in. And then they kind of gave up the house for Trevor Rogers, which felt like it was a really weird trade for the Orioles because Trevor Rogers has been terrible, but they did give up a lot in order to get him. They still sit atop the American League East. They're followed by the Yankees, who are 67 and 46 as well. The Red Sox, who are locked in a very tight series against the Royals right now. Now, the Red Sox came into the series 2.5 games behind the Royals for the third wildcard spot in the American League. They beat them last night 9-5. So the Red Sox trying to figure out a way to make the playoffs, get in there in that last wild card spot. They are 60 and 51. The Rays 57 and 54. They've sold off everybody. Seemingly anybody that had value on that team has been sold off. And the Blue Jays 51 and 61. Cleveland with the best record in baseball is 67 and 45. Minnesota 63 and 48. Following right behind them, Kansas City is 63 and 51, and the Tigers 53 and 60. Obviously, the White Sox 27 and 88. Think about that, 27 and 88. They have a chance to be the worst team in the history of baseball if they continue on this pace that they're on right now. Seattle leads the West. They just took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies. They are 59 and 54. Houston's 57 and 55. Behind them, a game and a half. Texas, the Angels, and Oakland all seemingly just, I mean, obviously the Angels and Oakland are out of it, but Texas continues to be confusing, and they're 54 and 59 and likely not going anywhere this year. We know the NL East standings. The Phillies are 5.5 games ahead of Atlanta. They are 7 ahead of the Mets, but just in another free fall. It remains to be seen if they can keep that division lead, because they're not giving you any confidence to think they can. Milwaukee, who's 3.5 behind the Phillies for the best record in the National League, they're 62 and 49, leading the Pirates by 6 games. The NL Central is incredibly mediocre. The Pirates are in second at 56 and 55. Cardinals 57 and 56. Reds 54 and 58, and the Cubs are 55 and 60. It just felt like the NL Central can't quite get it together outside of Milwaukee. And then the Dodgers, who are a half game behind the Phillies at 66 and 46. Arizona 61 and 52, 5 games back. Padres are 5 games back, same record at 61 and 52. The Giants have figured it out a little bit. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They're 57 and 57, and the Rockies at 41 and 72. All right. It's going to do it for me today on this episode of Phillies Today. You got Christopher Sanchez versus Clayton Kershaw on the hill for the Phillies tonight. Will they figure out a way to win a series? Will they be able to win the last two against the Dodgers? I don't have a lot of hope, but if you do, more credit to you for being able to stick up for this Phillies team and think that they're going to be able to figure it out, because I am not in that camp, and it's just been a rough go. It's been a really rough go, and like I said, if it feels like you hear me defeated in my voice this entire episode, it's because I am. It's because the Phillies have seemingly defeated me, and I just don't know where to turn or what this baseball team can do to make it better. All right, that's going to do it for me. Like I said, Sanchez versus Clayton Kershaw on the hill for the Phillies. Hopefully they can find a way to figure it out tonight. And we'll reconvene next week and give another State of the Union on what the Phillies are doing. Until then, go Phillies and have a great rest of your day.